Whenever I read Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, I wonder what it was that Paul spoke to those brethren that caused him to speak till midnight. Of course, I also wonder what time he actually started. I have no idea what Paul preached, but it was urgent enough that he decided to take the time to speak it then for those brethren. Now, I don't know that the message I have this morning is any more urgent than any message that I've ever spoken. And I will tell you that I had a lesson to present this morning. And as I was going back over it last night, I noticed it's kind of long. And when I got up this morning, I began thinking a little more about that lesson. And I thought, there's no way I can finish this lesson before long after the time that we would normally be done. And this is a morning where I don't want anybody urgently concerned. And so I want to tell you, sometimes I say Brother David had a connection to my thoughts. I think I had a connection to David's thoughts this time, because as I started thinking about what I really wanted to talk about this morning, thinking about things that I could condense down or that I could talk about that would give us a good lesson, a good understanding of some things that are important to us as Christians, yet not just keep going on and on and have a long list of scriptures. I mean, one of my screens for that lesson we're going to look at next Sunday or the Sunday after, whenever we get to it, has got scriptures 2 to 1. And y'all know how we get in reading scriptures and looking at them. I want to talk this morning about the idea of the need to remember. And really, when I think about what Paul would have told those brethren in Troas on that Sunday, whatever time of day it may have been that they came together, I'm confident that at least a part of what Paul spoke about was the need to remember. To remember Christ. To remember His sacrifice. To remember salvation. To remember several things. And to talk about those things this morning, I want us to turn to the book of Acts. We have several lessons over the last few weeks, especially in the month of January, that looked at the early church and the things that we see there in the book of Acts in the very beginning of the church that we can duplicate to help both ourselves as individuals and the congregation to grow. And certainly lessons like that are important and useful and helpful to us. But I want this morning for us to look at the words of the Apostle Peter. From Acts chapter 2 on into about Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at what the Apostle Peter had to say as he spoke to people who knew God, who knew who God was, who claimed to serve God, yet weren't a part of the body of Christ for one reason or another. And he talked to people who were amazed at what they were seeing take place, when really, they shouldn't have been. First, we want to look at his words on the day of Pentecost, beginning in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, I want us to consider the words of the Apostle Peter in light of this idea. Remember the sacrifice. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned in Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Actually, there's two things in that sermon that we need to recognize a responsibility to keep in mind. Two things Peter emphasized there. First was the sacrifice. And that this sacrifice was God's plan. His predetermined plan was for the Jews to give Jesus over to the Romans so that he might be crucified by those wicked hands, ungodly hands. But also the exaltation of that Savior. You rejected him. You cast him aside, but God in his plan raised him up, and now he reigns supreme over everything on earth. And in all that Peter says there, he also puts behind it, you should have known this. In other words, why didn't you believe? We need to remember the sacrifice. We need to remember that it was not some accident. It was not some plan B, but it was the plan of God from the very beginning of time that this would happen. And that through that sacrifice, Christ gained his exaltation. If he had not died, he would not have been raised to sit at the right hand of God. That's what Peter preached to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. The very men and women who had cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" just a little under 2 months before. They had said, "Kill him! We want nothing to do with him. Put his blood on our heads because we want him gone." Peter said, "That same one you rejected, God has made him king." Let's move over to chapter 3. In chapter 3, we have the story of the lame beggar that is healed. And I'm sure we've all heard sermons on that particular story. But I want us to look at what the Apostle Peter actually said after those things had taken place. After they had healed this man, and we find he was with Peter and John, and the people ran together with him in verse 11 at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in His name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through Him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. When Peter starts this sermon to this crowd that is so amazed, he says, I want you to know where that power came from. I don't want you to begin to think that I've done this or that me and John together gathered these things up and were able to do this. Maybe it should have said John and me. I don't know. I want you to know that it was Jesus. I want you to remember the power and where it came from. Even though you seemingly defeated him, using the hands of Pilate and the Romans, you put him to death, it is his power that made this man whole. And I think from this particular part of Peter's sermon here, we need to grab the idea and hold diligently to it that we need to remember the power of God. That's what's exemplified here. This is a part of what Peter is trying to get across to this crowd who has seen this. They're amazed at what's happening. And he says, you ought not to be. I don't know why you're surprised. This is God. God working. And I can see in the back of those words, many of you have already seen this power. Yet, you have not yet believed. Why? Why haven't you believed? Why do you want to attribute it to something else? You should know that it is the name of Jesus that contains such power. And while we don't have miracles today such as they had in those days, we need to remember that it is the name of Jesus that has the power to save. Peter elsewhere said, this is the only name by which men can be saved. There's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. When Paul was told to be saved, he was told not only to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, but calling on the name of the Lord. Why? Because it is the gospel, as Paul told the Roman brethren, that has the power to deliver man from sin. It's the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is only through the power of Jesus. But let's continue what Peter has to say here in chapter 3. And now, brethren, in verse 17, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of the prophets that His Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announce these days. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant of God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Not only remember the power, but remember the prophecies and how they are fulfilled in Christ. Everything you have seen here was foretold in the prophets. My Bible reading over the last several months has been going through the prophets, reading chronologically, and I'm in the last days of the kingdom of Judah, so you can imagine what prophets I've been reading from, just about all of them, except for those in the days of captivities. And we've been studying in the time of the judges, and there's been a few prophecies in regards to that. And if we get into 1 Samuel, we're going to start to see some of those prophecies again. Notice, Peter here says that the prophets from old, from Samuel all the way through, from before the times of the kings. In fact, as he emphasized just a few verses before, even Moses prophesied that these things would happen. Moses told you that when that prophet of God comes and he's certain to send it, you better listen to him, or you're going to be held accountable and you're going to find yourself lost and separated from God. Not only did Peter remind these people who were amazed at the healing of this lame man of the power and where it came from, he said, you've been told about this from the beginning. We could go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and find prophecies of the Christ. We need to remember that Christ and the things he did are fulfilling the promises God made to man from the beginning. We need to remember the fulfillment. I tried to get a lesson together one time that looked at all the old prophecy, the prophecies of old, and when they were fulfilled in Christ. And I never could get a lesson together that included all of them without splitting it up into multiple lessons, because there are so many. The prophecies of Christ are multiple through the Old Testament scriptures. And here Peter tells these people, whose attention he got because of healing a lame man, you need to remember those prophecies and know that Jesus is the fulfillment of those things. Remember the sacrifice. Remember the exaltation. Remember the power. Remember the fulfillment. And then in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Of course, we know in between this time, Peter and John were arrested. Whether they were arrested because they healed a guy who needed to be healed, or arrested because they were telling people how to be saved, they were arrested. Now, we know they were arrested because of jealousy in the long run. And when they were brought before the judgment council of the Jews, they were asked, what's the power you used? Where's your authority for this? Evidently, these people weren't listening when Peter was talking to the people, to the general populace on Solomon's porch. Peter's response in verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved.
And from this short statement of the Apostle Peter, I want us to understand that we need to remember the rejection. We need to remember the rejection of the Jewish leaders, of those who were supposed to be the edifiers, the builders up of God's people, who were supposed to be that which brought salvation into the world. It was through their line that Christ came into the world. It was through their law that a place was made for the perfect sacrifice to come and live and die on behalf of all mankind. That was the purpose of the Old Testament law. But they rejected him. They cast him outside the camp. They wanted nothing to do with him. We could spend days talking about why that was. It boils down to the fact they didn't like what he said. He wasn't who they thought he was going to be. He didn't fit their pattern. And that's why we need to remember the rejection. Because if we start looking at Jesus and begin to see ourselves saying, wait a minute, that doesn't fit what I... We need to stop. Because we're in the same boat as the leaders of the Jews in the days following the death of Christ and before the death of Christ for that matter. We're rejecting Jesus because he's not what I think he ought to be. We need to remember the sacrifice of our Savior. Yes, we gather and we remember the Lord's death on each Lord's Day. That's the reason we're here. As was read for us in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the brethren came together to break bread, to remember the sacrifice of the Savior. As we have sufficient command and example in the New Testament Scriptures for us to do the same today. But we need to always remember that sacrifice. It was the reminder of the sacrifice of Jesus and of the exaltation of Jesus as King, as ruler over all, that Peter appealed to turn the Jews back to Christ on the day of Pentecost. And you know what? It worked. Those who listened to his message cried out, "What shall we do?" And Peter and the apostles answered that with, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The sacrifice, the exaltation, the power, the fulfillment, and the rejection. Those are the things that Peter emphasized to people who knew God. And I think it's important that we keep those things in our mind each and every day as well. Not just remembering that sacrifice and the exaltation as a result of remembering the sacrifice. Remembering that these things were promised by God. This was according to God's eternal plan. And it is essential that we keep them in our minds each and every day. You know, when I think about what Paul probably preached about to those brethren in Troas, I suspect he preached about the sacrifice and exaltation of Jesus. I suspect that those who were already brethren, who understood the need to come together and worship, Paul talked to them about the power of Jesus. By the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies in the life of Jesus. And he reminded them to be careful that they did not reject. I can see you talking about that all day long. End of the night. And even up until the time that I needed to leave. Discussing, studying, learning, encouraging, strength. Those things are the things that are behind every single topic we study regarding our work for the Lord today.
even those lessons about individual and church growth we had last month. Those things were timely. And those things are behind the lesson of helping the loss that we're going to have sometime in the next week. Try to keep it from taking a midnight conference. Appreciate your kind intentions for this message that every one of us can read from the book of Acts. We need to keep in mind. We need to keep it fresh. Because that's the message that will keep us out of sin. That's a message that will turn us back to Christ. And every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has to acknowledge that we have sinned. And therefore, we need to come to God expressing our concern, our repentance, and our seeking of forgiveness for those things we have done that's wrong. And John tells us if we do that, He will wipe them away as if they'd never been. Remember Christ and all the things that Peter and Paul and all the rest of Scripture talks about. It will help us to avoid sin. And when we find ourselves in sin, it will help us to turn away. If you look this morning and find things in your life are amiss that need to be set right, and we can assist, time and opportunity is yours. Come, always stand and serve.